Money Talk. This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on India's orange economy, creative industries as growth engines. The participants are Ashish Kulkarni, Chairman of Animation, Visual Effects, Gaming, Comics and Extended Reality, AVGCXR Forum, FICCI. Moderator is Rajesh Lake.
Welcome to Money Talk. Today we put the spotlight on a powerful but often underestimated growth driver, India's orange economy. Our creative and cultural industries, from animation, visual effects and gaming to design, music, film, fashion and immersive XR experiences. To unpack this, I'm joined by someone who sits right at the intersection of industry, policy and innovation, Ashish Kulkarni. Ashish, thank you for joining us on Money Talk.
Thank you so much.
Let me start by asking, when you look at India's orange economy today, do you see a genuine growth engine in the making or an underpowered opportunity still stuck in first gear?
Well, in fact, it's both because we have a very established film industry for 117, 18 years. We also have, the television for almost 70 years in multiple languages. We now have like web series, or what we say streaming industry, for just close to about 9 to 10 years. But the complete ecosystem of the social media and the content that we refer to today as the digital content ecosystem and the digital content economy has been a 2 decades affair. And we have a large number of things to cover, because the youth of this country were deprived of having access to the creative education in the schools, where the national education policy actually has been a game changer in the Indian creative and design industry. Because we did have marks for all these subjects in the schools, people were forced to take it as extracurricular activities. They were not allowed to make proper career into these areas as a first line. There was no level playing field. It was right now, I think, that level playing field between science, commerce and arts is emerging, the performing arts, the design. And that's one aspect of it. The second is that we were working in pure silos, that, you know, if you said arts, it was like nothing to do with a lot of technology and all. The issue is the time has come that we really look at combination of arts and sciences, performing arts and tech, sports and tech, everything coming together. And I think that's the big opportunity. So we have an established industry, to say, in one form. And that's also adding to the digital content ecosystem and the orange economy. But what is a new age content creation is something which is emerging as more stronger and more deep-rooted, coming from wherever in the world, whether you are in the metro, not in the metro, or you are in whatever geography and whatever language, you know, it's kind of giving you an opportunity to present yourself and present your content globally. And I think that's where we want to do a formal strike.
India, Ashish, often celebrates its demographic dividend and creative talent. Yet, the orange economy still contributes a modest share to GDP. What, in your views, are the hard bottlenecks preventing creative industries from becoming a serious growth engine?
I think the biggest hurdle was the families not allowing kids to take the career. Even today, we see a lot of resistance. If somebody in the family says, I want to be a singer, dancer, or a musician, or I want to be a designer, it's the family shakes. Although in the urban areas, the things have changed a little bit with liberal arts and design schools and everything. But I think the foundational skills are missing. And I think that's where we need to enter the schools and give the basic education needs to include creative arts, performing arts, design thinking, you know, lateral thinking and critical thinking to be the foundational skills. And I think with the emergence of NEP, it's allowed from the sixth grade onwards. And we are actually making a lot of effort from IICT, Indian Institute of Creative Technologies, to work with CBSE and with all the state boards to see that we are able able to give them curriculum which is actually becoming a pathway, like you take physics, chemistry, mathematics to join engineering, take physics, chemistry, biology to join medical. We create a pathway to actually become a designer, to become a professional performing artist and a creative artist, and then make your career into different forms of expressions like films or animation or visual effects or gaming, and look at finding your career paths right from the school. So the foundational skills and the complete taboo that we have in terms of whether they will make their livelihood or not. In many ways, IPL has been a game changer where youngsters actually have made very big careers at a very early age. And I think that's given some leeway in explaining the parents and even the educational ecosystem that this is a serious career that can actually get people success.
So what I gather from what you just said, that we do not have any aggressive undergrad impetus being given to this orange economy of ours, despite the fact that this is a multi-billion dollar opportunity. But when it comes to investment and job creation, we lag projections here. The potential is not firmly communicated. So do you think in any way are we overestimating this space, or is the policy execution gap to be blamed?
I don't think so we are overestimating, because I will give you a simple example. When we were in schools, we used to read books, we used to read newspapers. Then came an era that we were reading books and newspapers on our laptop and desktop and mobile phones. But today people want to watch videos to understand any news or any information and know about any subject. So if your country's ability to make those videos and put it onto the digital content ecosystem is absent, then you would not be known so much. The thing is that that's where the large amount of jobs are going to show up. And that's where today, whether you are an institution, you are a shop, you have anything to do with any kind of information, you need to convert that information into a format of video. So according to me, there are three V's that are going to rule the world for the next 5 to 7 years. One is the video, one is the vernacular, and one is the voice. So you need to really, really see that people are trained in your country in the proper way, in whatever geographies they stay into, whatever cities or rural areas that they stay into, and they are able to be trained to make serious content and add to the economy. Because I think that's going to be the driver for many people, whether it's educating right from farmers to anything. Today, video making is a very important way. Now, I'm saying that creative thinking and also the design thinking is not restricted to only our industry per se, but it is important for any engineer, doctor, or chartered accountant, lawyer, or any profession whatsoever. So I'm saying that is needs to be considered into the foundational skills, and that is going to be the game changer. So it will not be considered overestimate, but I think India would emerge as a big content hub and the content creation hub for the world. And I think that's the right direction to.
Okay, that leads me to my next question, which is in comparison to Korea's K-Wave or Japan's anime and manga ecosystem, India actually hasn't yet built a globally recognized cultural export engine. What did these countries do right that India has still not managed to replicate?
Well, India has just begun to think that we need to invest into these areas. They invested into it maybe 70, 80, 100 years ago, because manga as a comic book style was laid almost 90, 100 years ago. People followed manga very seriously. And then when manga was animated, it is called anime. And they could find people resonating with it all over the world. The largest manga followers are present in India. But I think if you really want to see the similar parallel, Korea got independence on 15th of August 1945, just 2 years before India got it. But they had their creative education, their processes right in place. They actually played on combination of art and culture, art and technology together, art and sciences together at a very early space. And that's where you can see the results. So if we invest right now, and we are trying to do that in right from the school education, you will see the results in the next 10, 12 years that India emerges. And many of our art forms were just dying because there was nobody to create. People actually migrated from those art forms to do something else for their living. What we are going to do right now with the whole system, and yesterday Honorable Minister spoke about the Creating India mission might be the next one. We have been working on it for a long period of time. I think what it's going to really do is give an empowerment to animation, gaming, visual effects, comics, and extended reality, which is the present form of storytelling and the contemporary form of storytelling. And we are going to revive most of India's folk and traditional art forms into this contemporary spaces. And I think that's the way we will evolve an Indian style. And I have no doubt that in the next 10 years, you will see multiple stylizations coming out of India. Comic book culture is just revived in India in the last 5 years after COVID. So what I very firmly believe at this point in time, that all the effort that the industry and the government is doing together to set this right, in the next 10 years, you will see all the art forms like the Gond art forms, the Varli, the Tanjore art form, and the Krishnanagar, and all these art forms you're going to see emerging into a traditional ecosystem and in the shows, and they will make a mark all over the globe. And you will see licensing and merchandising also evolving out of this. And I think our effort with IICT and the connect with the schools and universities is to ensure that we actually not only create a level playing field for creative arts, performing arts and design, but we actually revive these art forms through the structured way.
So, Ashish, access to finance for creative projects is notoriously difficult. Banks are risk averse and private capital often chases quick returns. What new financing models or public-private mechanisms do we need for long gestation creative IP?
Historically, if you see, most of the countries creating animation for the last 4 or 5 decades were dependent on one of the formats which was established, which was called as a co-production treaty between the countries and the co-production ecosystem. And India had been absent into this ecosystem because we didn't have co-production treaties with countries. In the last 9 years, India has signed about 16 co-production treaties already, and we are on the verge of signing more co-production treaties. Important part is right now with the Creating India mission or in some other form, we working with the ecosystem to create a co-production fund as well, so that there are multiple studios globally come together to create content to make it more viable. So that is one mechanism of funding, a good idea. And I think so far, Indian studios who have done a large amount of co-production always became a poor partner in the lower value chain because we were considered to be doing the heavy lifting in the production side of it. The IP was somebody else's. Now is the time that we are trying to turn that ecosystem by coming with parallel fund, by we actually greenlight Indian ideas as a global co-production ecosystem and find the global partners to do this. Second important thing is that I was a part of the India's task force on AVGC XR, and our recommendations was to really see two or three very critical things for our industry. One is to consider IP that we create in AVGC XR and films as a legitimate IP with valuation to be given as a collateral and look at it as an asset class to get loan against these intellectual property. As of now, people actually have to raise money by giving immovable properties and all. And that is something which is critical for understanding of the evolved nations where we actually consider IP as a legitimate asset for a collateral. What we did is we went to every state and we created a separate AVGC XR policy. And as a part of AVGC XR policies, we have created a fund of funds. We can actually fuel the creative ecosystem and the creative engine. And this is the way we will be actually making sure that people from any walk of life having a great idea, students having great ideas can come up, create a comic book and convert that into a game or a web series or a feature film.
Ashish, the message is clear. If India wants to lead in the next wave of growth, it cannot afford to treat creative industries as a sideshow. Policy, finance, skills and IP all have to move in step and move fast. On that note, I would like to thank you, Ashish Kulkarni.
Thank you very much for doing this.
You were listening to a discussion on India's orange economy, creative industries as growth engines. The participants were Ashish Kulkarni, Chairman of Animation, Visual Effects, Gaming, Comics and Extended Reality, AVGC XR Forum, FICCI. Moderator was Rajesh Lake. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Money Talk.